Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there's made of a necessity a change of the law also. Now, notice there, he didn't say that the priesthood was done away. That's not what he said. He said the priesthood was changed, okay? And, of course, we understand from Hebrews 7 that that change is that Christ has now become our high priest. He is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That is the change that has taken place. Jesus is our high priest in heaven, okay? Now, the high priest's job in the Old Testament was to minister, you know, on behalf of the people unto the Lord, okay? That was the nature of that job. That was what they were to do. Now, that part of that job hasn't changed either. You know, Jesus is in heaven, you know, and he makes prayers and intercessions for us. But, you know, as far as, you know, the day-to-day stuff that we have to deal with, the nitty-gritty of just living life here on earth, the practical matters, you know, Jesus doesn't come down here and teach us those things personally. You know, he doesn't come down here and teach us all the things that we have questions about. He's actually given us ministers that do that on his behalf, okay? Just like you kind of had the high priest in the Old Testament, you know, and he had certain duties, and then the other Levites, they had, you know, I guess you could call them lesser duties. You know, there was only, the high priest was the only one that was allowed to go into the holiest of holies once a year, you know, and then the other priests, they had the more day-to-day stuff, you know, attending to the altar, cleaning things up, taking up and setting down the tabernacle, so on and so forth. So yet the priesthood has changed in the sense that Jesus has now become our high priest, but we have ministers here in the local church. You know, the way Christ ministers, our high priest ministers to us is, of course, through the Bible and the Holy Spirit, but a big component of the way he ministers to us is through the local church, is through the ministers that are in the local church. That's what, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, you know, it says in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And it says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the reason for the local church. That's why God has given, you know, preachers and teachers to the local church, is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, you say, where are you going with this? Well, just like the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament, you know, they were flesh and blood human beings, and they had physical needs. You know, that's why God gave them the tithes of the people to support them so that they could be wholly devoted to those duties that were given only to them. You know, you could make that same application today to the New Testament church. You know, those that are ministering in Christ's stead, you know, those that are ministering on our high priest's behalf, we still have physical needs. You know, we, like the Levites, still have families to raise, mouths to feed, you know, have to put clothes on people, have to put roofs over people's heads, you know, have to pay for midwives and all these other things, right? We have these needs. These haven't gone away. In fact, Paul, he goes on and he even cites, if you would, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And people, you know, they'll get upset and say, well, you know, I just don't understand why we need to tithe. You know, why is that commanded? Why, you know, you're just insisting on it because, you know, you just want to take it easy or something. Now, look, are there ministers out there that are just all about making money and taking it easy and not doing the work of the ministry? Sure there are, you know, but not in this church and not a lot of other churches that I know. You know, there are ministers who are serious about the work of the ministry. You know, and they are, the Bible says that they are worthy of double honor, you know, that we should, you know, we should be willing to communicate with such. Because it is work. You know, the ministry at the end of the day is work. If you're doing it right, it's work. It's not easy. It's a job like any other job that's out there. Any other person that has a job, it's the same thing. You know, there's still the mundane duties that have to get done. There's still all the, you know, the fine print that has to get taken care of, you know, the checks that have to be written, the bills that have to be paid, you know, and people, you know, have to understand, this crowd probably isn't among, you know, struggling with this, you know, but people need to understand, you know, the tithe is important because of the fact that those are some nice chairs you're sitting on, right? I think they're pretty comfortable. You know, if you were here when the old chairs were here, you'd really appreciate those chairs, right? You know, we're shipping those things out. We're getting rid of them. We're sending them to the other side of the country. You know, get those things away from us, right? But you know what? Those chairs weren't free. You know, and I didn't pay for them. You know, Pastor Anderson didn't pay for them. You know who paid for them? The church paid for them. And how did they pay for it? through the tithe, right? It's not just going all towards someone's salary, you know, and making sure that they're taken care of, they have what they need. But it also allows us to do a lot of other things for the Lord, to make, you know, have nice murals, have a nice big building, put a foosball table in the back, have some, you know, place for people to go fellowship. We have a lot of nice things because of the tithe. So you can see, you know, tithing is very important, you know. And here's the thing. We could have church without the tithe. You know, if everyone just wanted to quit tithing and just said, you know what, Brother Corbin's wrong. You know, he makes no sense. I don't see it in Scripture. You know, tithing in the New Testament is done away. And everyone just says, you know what, we're not going to tithe anymore. You know, we could still have church, you know, but we just wouldn't do it in here. You know, maybe we just have to start having smaller groups and meeting in different people's houses and use their electricity and use their internet and use, you know, their printer and their paper and so on and so forth and on and on and on. There are many other expenses that the church incurs, and that's what the tithe is used for. So it's very practical, and it's foolish to think that there's people out there that actually have a problem with this. And we'll, you know, at the end of the day, the reason people pick on tithing is because of the fact that if you have a problem with tithing, you say, you know, tithing is a deal breaker for me. Like, I'm not going to go to church, they practice tithing. I think you've pretty much just ruled out every church there is. I mean, maybe there's some obscure church out there where they don't have tithing, and maybe it's just like six dudes in a living room somewhere calling it church. It's not, you know, they're all pastors or they're all whatever. They all have a title or something like that. You know, they're not really doing anything for the Lord. They're just getting together and talking about tithing every Sunday or something, why they don't do it and patting themselves on the, you know, that kind of thing is out there, but that's not a legitimate church. So when you say, well, I just don't go any, and there's people out there that are like this. They just say, oh, I'm not going to go to any church that practices tithing because I'm just against it. Like, and they think it's like the greatest evil that's ever been perpetuated upon mankind. You know, that somebody would insist on tithing to pay for the salaries, to pay for the bills, to, just to make the place run and function. Like, it's just this great tragedy that's like, and really it's insulting to so many people's intelligence. I mean, anyone with half a brain could figure this out. And basically when you're saying, well, no, the Bible doesn't teach that, they just kind of just paint with this broad brush and just say, you know, everybody that believes in that just must be stupid to not understand that. And it's actually insulting.